Angie has made it easier than ever to connect with skilled professionals to get all your jobs projects done well.
I absolutely love this because, you know, if you own a home, it can be really hard to maintain. It's hard to find people that can help you for a big project or a small. Well, whether it's in everyday maintenance and repairs or making dream projects a reality, it can be hard just to know where to start. But now all you need to do is Angie that. And find a skilled local pro who will deliver the quality and expertise you need. Angie has over 20 years of home service experience, and they've combined it with new tools to simplify the whole process. Bring them your project online or with the Angie app, answer a few questions, and Angie can handle the rest from start to finish. Or help you compare quotes from multiple pros and connect instantly, which means you can take care of just about any home project in just a few taps, because when it comes to getting the most out of your home, you can do this when you Angie that. Download the free Angie mobile app today or visit Angie.com. That's ANGI.com.
Greetings, humans. You have entered the command zone, your destination for all aspects of Elder Dragon Highlander. Enjoy your stay.
What's up, everybody? You are watching / listening to the Command Zone Podcast. I am one of your hosts today, Jimmy Wong.
And I'm your other host, Gaurav Gulati.
What's up, Gaurav? Welcome back to the show.
Thank you.
We are doing a budget upgrade guide for one of the precons I'm the most excited about because it has a dragon in it.
Yeah.
It's Draconic Descent. Ooh. And as always, we are taking 10 cards out and putting 10 cards in, and Gaurav has helped us decide what those 10 cards are going to be for under a budget of $30 around that. Pretty nice stuff. But before we get into it, gotta talk about our sponsors, channelfireball.com/command. They're the place to go if you want to get sealed product like these precons, because you're shopping from real local game stores from around the country. They're all accredited, and you're going to get some great prices on sealed products, as well as singles and all that good stuff, because maybe you're looking to upgrade this deck yourself. Maybe you're just looking to buy some dragons, because they're always a cool card to buy and show off to your friends. Either way, channelfireball.com/command, or when you're at the checkout, you can just enter code command. That will let Channel Fireball know that you're coming from us, and that helps out our show as well, because they are a sponsor, and of course you're going to get Magic cards anyway, so why not buy them from a place that we trust and we know you can trust as well. We're also brought to you by Ultra Pro. You can go to shop.ultrapro.com/command, and if you want to get any of the playmats from Baldur's Gate or even the last set or sets that are coming up, deck boxes, sleeves, all of that custom art is from Ultra Pro and their products. Josh and I have been using them for decades now, literally, and of course we trust them to protect our Magic cards when we get them in the mail from Channel Fireball. So make sure you check out shop.ultrapro.com/command, or just go pick up Ultra Pro product wherever you are at. You know, everyone needs a new playmat here and then.
True.
And the last way to support the show is directly at patreon.com/command zone. We've upgraded our Patreon recently. I just played some games with some patrons on Spell Table.
That's right.
So we have new tiers available with new awesome bonuses. But at the very basis, all of you get access to the Discord, where all of us are there. Me and Josh are answering questions every single day. And you get to join our awesome community, get, you know, advice about your deck, whatever it is.
Yeah.
The only way to do that is patreon.com/command zone, and we shout out one lucky patron every single episode. And this week's episode is dedicated to Alex Roos. Alex, you rock.
You rock.
Thank you. Roos.
I don't know. Yeah. It doesn't really work.
All right, let's get right into it. 10 cards in, 10 cards out for the Draconic Descent Precon Budget Upgrade Guide. And as always, we leave the mana base as is, because who wants to add in a land to a deck? That's not exciting.
Boring.
Boring. So, Gaurav, why don't you take us through the main commander of this deck, the one that's on the front when you pick it up, and we'll read it and talk a little bit about it.
Yes, the commander is Furcrag, Cunning Instigator.
Ooh.
It is legendary creature dragon. It costs a red, a blue, and 3. And you get a 3/3 flying haste. Whenever one or more dragons you control attack an opponent, goad target creature that player controls. Now, goad is you target a creature and they have to attack next turn, and they can't attack you. They have to attack one of the other opponents.
Yeah, they get some bloodlust in their eyes and they're like, I need to go to combat.
Yes.
If able.
And the second ability on Furcrag is whenever a creature deals combat damage to one of your opponents, if that creature had to attack this combat by being goaded or some other method, you put a +1/+1 counter on Furcrag, Cunning Instigator, and you draw a card.
Notably, it says if that creature had to attack this combat. So it's not necessarily goad. There are some cards in Magic's history that's like, this creature attacks this combat if able.
Yep.
But that is not the case here.
Yes, exactly. And so this deck contains a few ways to goad creatures and other methods that aren't exactly goad, but force creatures to attack. So that's what we're going to trying to do here, is to instigate combat on our opponents to make them fight each other, and then we, you know, pick up the win by just
making them all fight each other.
Exactly.
Yeah, it's actually a really effective strategy. I played against a bunch of Carter Doomscourge decks now, and you'd be surprised how effective goad is on a mass level. Now, notably here, you can attack multiple opponents and goad multiple creatures, correct?
Yes, exactly. So you can goad three creatures a turn if you have three dragons attacking, one to each opponent, because it triggers off one or more dragons you control whenever they attack an opponent. Mm-hmm. So three opponents or more, I guess, if you have more opponents.
Yeah, but if you have three dragons attacking one person, you don't get to goad three creatures. You still just goad one.
Just one.
Furcrag notably has haste as well, and is a dragon, so when you play Furcrag, you're going to be able to get this effect off, and then if Furcrag's alive when those creatures attack, well, then you get a plus one counter on Furcrag, and then you get a draw card.
Yeah, exactly. So if you had a dragon come in to play the turn previous, you'll get two goad triggers if you attack two different opponents, and then they'll have to start fighting each other, and then you're left open in the skies to just swoop in there and get the win.
And keep on goading them, too, notably. Also, it's kind of hard to block dragons, I found, typically.
Yeah, no one's really ready for hasty big creatures in the air, which is great for you.
Very good. All right, yeah. So that is the main commander of the deck. Now, as with all of these decks, they have a secondary legendary creature, as well as, in the case of Baldur's Gate, a background that goes with those creatures. Now, we'll be talking about the backgrounds and the legendary creatures in an entirely another episode, where we cover all of the different combinations and sort of how they work and what we think the best strategy is to approach with them. But in this case, we do have a red creature and a blue background, so we'll start out by reading just the red legendary creature that can also potentially function as the commander of this deck.
And that is Baeloth Barretil, Entertainer. They are a legendary creature, Elf Shaman. They are a 2/5 that says, creatures your opponents control with power less than Baeloth's power are goaded.
Just always goaded.
Now, he is power 2, which means that anything power 1 or less, I guess, is goaded.
Like a wall,
I guess. I mean, they probably have Defender, but whatever. And then they have another ability. Whenever a goaded attacking or blocking creature dies, you create a treasure token, which is kind of huge if you're forcing your opponents to attack all the time.
Yeah,
attacking and blocking.
Yeah, and their creatures, if they're goaded, if they block, it also counts when they die.
Exactly. And it also has to choose a background, obviously, for the background that is included in the deck, which is Clan Crafter.
Yeah, and we'll read Clan Crafter. It is a background. Again, it functions sort of like a partner with mechanic or a Friends Forever type mechanic where it can exist in the command zone with any creature that says choose a background. Clan Crafter is one in the blue. It's a legendary enchantment that says commander creatures you own have, pay 2 mana, sacrifice an artifact to put a +1/+1 counter on this creature and draw a card. This isn't amazing, because it seems like it's all about sacrificing artifacts.
Yeah, and it's a lot of hoops to jump through. You have to have your commander, you have to have 2 mana, you have to have an artifact. It's 3 hoops to get a counter and draw a card, which, if you build a deck around it, is great.
Could be very powerful, yeah.
This deck isn't really out of the box built to do this kind of thing.
Let's talk a little bit about Baeloth, though, because you would think, oh, creatures with under two power, how many of those creatures are going to be that significant? It's cooler if I can goad their 6/6 trampler on the ground, right?
Sure. But there are all sorts of one power things. Now, you're playing this on turn 5, maybe 4 with some ramp, but, you know, making their Land of War Elves or any other ramp creature attack, either force them to use the mana in that turn
or attack with it.
It's pretty big. And then there's also Esper Sentinel, Dockside Extortionist. Now, Dockside, you don't really care about attacking, but a lot of people try to flicker it, to get the multiple value. And this, now they can't do it. They have to attack with it and probably lose it because everyone's going to want to kill that and get it off the table.
Yeah, that's actually really effective that every creature, again, power 1 or less, has to attack. I think Baeloth's ability is really powerful. And of course, if you're able to pump his power, then more creatures are goaded. So it works really well with the commander as well.
Yes.
So, but I will say that if you do play Baeloth and Clan Crafter, if you have artifacts to sacrifice, you're going to put those on Baeloth and it gets bigger and bigger, right?
Yeah, and then just becomes that everything else is goaded and you're sitting pretty at that point.
Yeah, very much so. But I don't think that's the direction we want to go with the Draconic Descent deck.
No.
Considering that Baeloth is an elf shaman. But it is cool that we see these cards here because I think Clan Crafter can be, and Josh, by the way, Josh Lee Kwai, built around the Clan Crafter card in the Baldur's Gate Game Nights episode. So you get to see it really in action there with a deck that's built to take care of it.
Yes.
All right, so let's jump right in to my favorite segment, which is the
stats.
Burp. So again, we always cover the primary stats, where ramp, card draw, single target removal, board wipes, and then synergies that work well with the deck. So going through, Wizards has again done a great job. We have 17 ramp spells. Very nice. 10 cards that draw you cards.
That's also very good.
Very
card
good
draw, very
well.
Good.
Very good. Good. Card draw, good. Cards, good. Single target removal, there are 4 instances of that. There are 9 types of board wipes in here. Now, obviously, this doesn't mean 9 Wrath of God type effects. There right. are different kinds of board wipes. But that is still interesting, always to take note of. 9 is a lot. And then when it comes to the synergies of the deck, there are 29 cards that care about or create forced combat.
Almost a third.
That's a lot.
That's nuts.
And then in terms of dragon synergy, there are 14 cards that are synergizing with the dragons.
Yeah.
Which is, so this deck is obviously about forced combat, but the dragons seem to be the other major theme here.
Yes.
So, taking a look at this, pretty good stats overall.
Yeah.
Good job, Wizards.
Yeah.
They seem to always get above the 10 number for ramp and card draw these days, and as we always say on the show, those are like two of the most important things you put into any
Absolutely.
Deck. And ideally, some of those cards also have dragon synergy or also have synergy with forced combat. Okay. Now let's talk about the deck value. Now, keep in mind, these prices are taken into account before the deck is revealed, right. and it's specifically only the reprints and not the new cards, because we are doing this before the new cards have even hit the market. We don't know what those prices are at, so we just leave them out of it. So this purely just on reprints. And after we added them all up, we are at $100.71.
That's above the average. That's
good. That is above the average. So we took the average pre-con reprint value of the past 3 years, and it's around $80. So now that we know what that number is, let's see how we got there. So let's talk about the notable reprints. These are all the cards that are worth more than $2.
Yeah.
There were 3 cards that were $5 or more and 16 cards that were $2 or more. So added together, obviously, you're getting up to that total reprint value. But let's look at this first one. I actually can't believe how much this card costs.
Yeah, I was a bit shocked that this uncommon is $15 almost?
But it's only printed in a commander set, which a lot of times it can be common, uncommon, rare, whatever. But right. if it only appears one time, then yeah. it's harder to get.
It's limited, yeah.
Yeah, so it's Curse of Opulence, which was at a staggering $14.45.
Wild.
But it is a very good card, I think.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
So it's 1 red for an enchantment or a curse. Enchant player. Whenever enchanted player is attacked, create a colorless artifact token named Gold. It has sacrifice this artifact. Add 1 mana of any color to your mana pool. Each opponent attacking that player does the same.
Yeah, so this is another great way to instigate combat between your opponents.
Yeah, it's not goading, but they are attacking your opponents because you've cursed them with opulence.
Right, exactly. And the thing about this is the gold is even better than treasure, right?
Doesn't yeah.
happen at all.
Like, yeah, it just says sacrifice an artifact, this artifact, colon, add 1 mana to your mana pool.
Yeah, so even if you're not goading them, like this is incentivizing your opponents to attack each other, or, well, attack the one player who you played this on turn one, which you've made an enemy for the entire game when you do this. But
yeah, but it's also nice that when you attack them, and presumably you're going to play this and then swing at them with something, you're going to make a gold token.
Yes.
And because it doesn't tap, you can use that token for things like improvise or your gear per Aether Grid and still sack it for mana.
Yeah.
So gold tokens, you don't really see them that often. Maybe that's why they're... Treasures are the quote-unquote balanced version of gold, and treasures are busted. So
balanced, yeah.
Yeah. The next card up is one that I keep trying to put in decks, Garov, but I always end up cutting it. And it
Why?
Makes me really sad because I
Look
just...
Look how cute he is.
I know, it is really cute. You want to read it?
Yeah, this is Goblin Spymaster for red and 2.
So close, we almost got the goblin we wanted.
Creature, Goblin Rogue, first strike, it's a 2-1. At the beginning of each opponent's end step, that player creates a 1-1 red goblin creature token with creatures you control attack each combat if able.
All right. So again, let's go back to Furcrag. Mm-hmm. Furcrag says, whenever a creature deals combat damage to one of your opponents, if that creature had to attack this turn,
yep.
and you get to put the +1/+1 counter on that card and draw a card. So Goblin Spymaster has the ability to give everyone a 1-1 that says creatures you control attack each combat if able, which does satisfy Furcrag's second ability.
Yeah, and this is a 2-1 first strike, which means it'll block the token, no problem. So you
right.
they probably wouldn't attack you, right? Like, what's the point?
Yeah, yeah.
Might as well get some damage into somebody else.
In fact, a 2-1 that has first strike will actually hold back a lot of the table sometimes.
That's true, yeah.
but that's really great. This card obviously is extremely good in this deck because of how the commander works, and that card was at $8.
Yeah.
Sitting pretty.
Yeah, it's a good card. A 3-drop you can play pretty early, so.
Yep. And again, it's at the beginning of each opponent's end step, they're going to keep making these 1-1s.
Yeah.
And they're going to keep attacking. And ideally, not just them, all the creatures are going to be attacking. So people are going to find ways to get rid of them, or your Furcrag just gets massive.
Yes.
and you draw tons of cards.
Yes.
Next up is Terrain Generator. This is a land. I believe the last time we saw this was like Ice Age days.
A long time ago.
Yeah, or no, not Cold Snap, I think.
Cold Snap.
But you can tap it to add one mana to your mana pool, or you can pay two mana, tap it. You may put a basic land card from your hand onto the battlefield tapped. Mm-hmm. This was at $5.50. This is kind of like, it's definitely ramp.
Yeah.
It does cost three mana because you have to tap two mana and then tap this land itself, so you're losing the mana that this could tap for, but you get to put the land on the battlefield tapped.
A basic land. It is a basic, which means like any of those decks that you've done maybe three colors. Two colors, I think, is where you want this probably.
One color even, I would
say. Yeah, one color definitely, it's great, but two color is fine. I feel like once you get to three, there's so many multicolor lands that it might not be great anymore.
Yeah, and especially these days, you have the Triomes, you've got the new guild, one, the family ones from Capanna, so it's definitely good in the two color deck with a bunch of basic lands. Mm-hmm. And if you just have nothing else to do, getting another land into the battlefield isn't the worst.
Yeah, I'm happy to see this in any precon, honestly.
Yeah.
Like, this is great. Fantastic.
Yeah, I think it's a great precon card. And especially it's great with your commander because you're drawing, let's say, what, two, three cards, potentially mm-hmm. turn rotation. You're going to have a lot of extra lands in your hand, basics that you could play. Mm-hmm. And then going down from there, we have a bunch of other reprints. A few of these are actually really close to $5.
Yeah.
Which is great. That's where a lot of the value comes from. So there's Will Kenrith, which is the brother, I believe?
I think so.
Yeah, they're kind of like the Game of Thrones siblings, right? A little bit.
Oh, Jaime and
Cersei.
Yeah, Cersei. Yeah. Six mana planeswalker, though.
I don't actually know what this card is doing in this deck.
Yeah, I was a bit confused that him and his sister made it into this deck because they don't really. I mean, one of them kind of goads a little bit, but it's still a bit strange that they were in here. They should have just made them dragons. Like, just put in other dragons.
Will Kenrith, dragon.
Yeah.
yeah, but maybe it's because you can change some creature's power and toughness, so it makes the combat more appealing to people. I don't know.
Yeah.
It's a stretch, but these are still valuable cards, which is nice.
Yeah, exactly. And they can be commanders, too, which is, you know.
Oh, that's right.
Technically, they are the third and fourth commanders.
Like, yeah.
You could put them in a single color deck, obviously.
Yep.
And but they do have partners, so you could put them both in.
That's right. You technically could use Will and Rowan as the commanders of this deck, which I don't think you would.
I don't recommend it, but you do you.
That card's almost $5. And then we have Propaganda, which creatures can't attack you unless their controller pays two for each creature they control that's attacking you. Amazing card in this deck.
Very good, very good. You do not want people attacking you. You want them attacking your enemies.
Yep. And then we got Kazul, Tyrant of the Cliffs. This is a classic.
I love this card.
But also another card that incentivizes people attacking each other, right?
Yes, very good, very good. You get a 3/3 ogre unless they pay three when they attack you, which is like, well, just don't attack them. Like, why would you do this?
Why would you do that? It costs a lot of mana.
Yeah.
And finally, we get some dragons here. We got Dracuseth, Maw of Flames, and Niv-Mizzet Perun. Niv-Mizzet Perun, one of the best dragons I think ever mm-hmm. printed, and definitely one of the best Niv-Mizzets.
Another commander. You could actually make this the commander too. Doesn't really make sense, but you could do it.
Yeah. That's actually a good point.
Yeah.
Reliquary Tower, also up there. It's like a $3 card. You have no maximum hand size. And then we just have a bunch of other cards. We'll go through these a little more quickly. Kaiga, the Tide Star, just a big dragon. Avatar of Slaughter, another card that says every creature has to attack each mm-hmm. turn if able. They also all have double strikes, so this will end the game mighty quick.
Yeah,
this is an 8-mana card. Thunder Dragon, which is kind of like one of the board wipes. Mm-hmm. Rowan Kenrith, Will's sister.
Right.
Domineering Will, target player gains control of up to three target non-attacking creatures until end of turn. Untap those creatures they block this turn if able. Seems pretty good.
Yeah, it's not bad. It's not goading anything, but
you're waiting for your opponents to attack each other, and then you're casting Domineering Will to give the defender some better blockers than they already have, and really tricking everyone, right?
Yeah. It's a tricky card.
Yeah.
Cunning Instigator.
Yeah. Geode Ranger as well. This is another landfall card that every time you play a land, it goes
Rager.
Every...
Geode Rager.
Oh, not Ranger?
Sorry.
Rager.
We got D&D on the mind.
Yeah, he is raging indeed. And then Blasphemous Act.
Good old Blast Act.
Blast Act. He's a Blast Act, that one. This card is just great. Obviously, I think it's the best red board wipe out there. Mm-hmm. And, you know, you want to go nuts.
Yeah, often it's going to cost you one, maybe two mana to wipe the board, which is fantastic.
Yeah, I've actually very rarely seen this card not wipe the board because you need Indestructible or someone has to find a way around it. But I like it quite a bit. Yeah, so those are all the notable reprints. There are a lot of cards $2 and up, between $2 and $5. And obviously that is how we get to a good reprint value of around $100 on the precon.
Yeah.
Okay, so thinking about all this, looking at the cards here, not just the reprints, but what the cards, the commanders do, who do you think we should be running as the commander?
Oh, that's easy. It's the Cunning Instigator, Fearcrag.
Indeed.
Easy. I mean, you run I like to run the card that's on the box most of the time, and this deck is built for it. Like, the other commander is decent, but they require a different strategy altogether that this deck just isn't built for.
Mm-hmm.
And anytime I get to jam a bunch of dragons into a deck, like, oh, that feels good. That feels really good.
It does feel very good.
It feels very good.
So what do you think are some of the best cards in the deck?
So some of the best cards in the deck, this is a reprint, Vengeful Ancestor, a reprint from AFR.
Yeah.
This is 2 and 2 red for a 3/4 flying spirit dragon. Whenever Vengeful Ancestor enters a battlefield or attacks, go target creature.
Mm.
Like, that's straight up doing your commander's thing again. So essentially, if you have Fearcrag out and you attack with this, you get to go two creatures.
Yeah.
And doesn't have to be the one that you're attacking for in this instance.
It's also a 3/4 flyer, by the way, so it will dodge a lot of blockers.
And then there's more. It's got more attacks.
Whoa.
Whenever a goaded creature attacks, it deals 1 damage to its controller.
All right.
Fantastic.
So that's great. That's kind of like an Aristocratsy-esque effect. This will add up for sure if all you're doing is goading other creatures. And then by the end of the game, this card, if not dealt with, could be doing like 5 to 10 damage to people.
Yeah. It's a fantastic card. The next card I said was the second commander is actually very good.
Oh yeah.
Creatures your opponents control with power less than this commander or this card are goaded. Yeah, it's such crazy text.
Yeah, Baeloth Baratil, by the way. Yeah, it's very crazy text.
Yeah, it's wild text. I mean, it's only 2 power, but there are plenty of ways you can increase it if you build around it. But like, even just
then,
having it, it's a 2/5 that does that. It's crazy.
Yeah, that's going to again trigger your commander and you're going to go nuts. And then this last one is a new card, I believe, right?
I believe so. Bothersome Quazzet.
What's a Quazzet?
A Quazzet is a demon in D&D lore that does a lot of like tricksy stuff. And this one looks like it's feeding a cat some sort of weird goop.
I didn't even notice the cat.
Like, is the cat...
But it's small, I'm assuming, or the cat is huge.
No, it's very small. It's almost like an imp-ish creature.
Ah, okay.
A Quazzet. This is a red N2 for a 3/2 demon creature. It has menace. Goaded creatures your opponents control can't block.
Whoa!
Now, that's great because you're goading a lot, and now they can't even block.
Yeah, because they might be like, all right, I'm going to have to attack with this next turn. Yeah, sure, I'll do a free block, kill this, whatever. But now that they're goaded and they can't block...
Yeah.
It sounds really bad.
And then whenever you cast a non-creature spell, go target creature and opponent controls.
Wow.
Fantastic. All that ramp you're doing, if this creature's out, like, it's great.
Goad.
Very Bothersome Quazzet. I love it. Yeah.
Very bothersome indeed. Yeah, I would agree that all of these cards are contributing to the Fearcrag strategy quite a bit.
Yeah.
And Bothersome Quazzet could be a card, I mean, a 2/3/3/2 with menace that just goads stuff on non-creature. I mean, I could see this in a lot of Spellslinger decks. This is going to be more than just a bothersome card, I think, in the long run.
Yeah, I think it's a great card. It's fantastic.
Very good card. Okay. Well, we've talked about the stats. We've talked about the commanders and as well as which one we would like to run in the deck. There's plenty more to go, though, as including the most interesting part of the episode, which is the cards to take out and the cards to add in.
Yeah.
And we'll get right back to it. But first, let's hear a message from our mid-roll sponsors.
Angie has made it easier than ever to connect with skilled professionals to get all your jobs projects done well.
I absolutely love this because, you know, if you own a home, it can be really hard to maintain. It's hard to find people that can help you for a big project or a small. Well, whether it's in everyday maintenance and repairs or making dream projects a reality, it can be hard just to know where to start. But now, all you need to do is Angie that and find a skilled local pro who will deliver the quality and expertise you need. Angie has over 20 years of home service experience, and they've combined it with new tools to simplify the whole process. Bring them your project online or with the Angie app, answer a few questions, and Angie can handle the rest from start to finish. Or help you compare quotes from multiple pros and connect instantly, which means you can take care of just about any home project in just a few taps. Because when it comes to getting the most out of your home, you can do this when you Angie that. Download the free Angie mobile app today or visit Angie.com. That's ANGI.com.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
All right, we are back here with Gaurav Galati talking about the Draconic Descent precon upgrade. Now we're going to dive into the cards to add and the cards to take out. Now, first, when you looked at this Dekarov, what were your goals when it came to the adds and subtractions? And were there any thoughts that you had right off the gate?
Right out the aerial dragon gate. Yes, my main thought was there's only 14-ish dragons in the deck.
Oh, no.
It needs more dragons. Are you kidding me?
Way more dragons, yeah.
Yeah, your commander triggers off all those dragons. Like, let's add more dragons in here. And there are some, obviously, great dragons in the throughout the history of Magic, and yeah. I've added a few of them. Now, there are some that are a little more cost prohibitive that I have not included, but I think the ones I have are pretty dece for the $30 limit. I think these are pretty good.
Yeah, it turns out when you have a flying creature with haste or whatever it is, they're going to be just pretty good. The best dragons in Magic's history are pretty fairly costed as well. True. In terms of like mana to what you're getting for that value.
Yes. And a lot of you might have flashbacks to when these were all legal and standard, which was not too long ago.
Yeah,
you
know, I can look at a couple of these and all of them were menaces. Yeah. The ones I'm looking at. So.
Yes. Yeah.
All right. So let's kick things off with our first dragon that you're adding. What is it?
It is Thundermaw Hellkite.
Woohoo!
It is 3 and 2 red for a dragon, of course. It is a 5/5 with flying and haste. Whenever Thundermaw Hellkite enters a battlefield, it deals 1 damage to each creature with flying your opponent's control. Tap those creatures.
Oh, okay. Flying and haste. So it's going to swing as well as your commander, and you don't want to get blocked or even worse, killed by like a Baleful Strix or something, right?
Yes, exactly. Now, this is going to just open up the skies for the rest of your creatures to get in there and either just do an Alpha Strike and just straight up take out somebody or just goad a bunch of creatures on the battlefield and cause mass chaos.
Yeah, and they won't be able to block, so you're going to do that damage, you're going to goad them, and you're going to just get your game plan going instantly.
Yeah, it's a good card. It's a good dragon.
Yeah, I like this dragon quite a bit. The next one you're putting in is another one that was a terror when it was in Standard. It's Storm Breath Dragon. 3 red for a 4/4 flying haste, protection from white. And you can pay 5 red to monstrosity 3 it. So if it's not monstrous, you put 3+1/+1 counters on it. And when it becomes monstrous, it deals damage to each opponent equal to the number of cards in that player's hand.
Yeah.
So this is a win con, right?
I mean, a lot of people love drawing cards. I know somebody very close to me, Charles Lee Coyne, who loves drawing cards. And at any one time, he probably has 20 cards in his hand. So,
yeah,
so this will really punish people for that.
And you can instant speed the monstrosity as well. And not to mention it has haste. I think that's really, really important with these dragons because they can attack instantly and get you the triggers of the goading and just get it off. Because the worst is having your commander out, playing another dragon, going, well, past the turn, they can't do anything anymore.
Right, yeah.
So the haste is really important.
Protection for white is also not nothing. You know, protects from swords, protects from path.
Yeah.
And a lot of creatures that are up in the air usually are flying with white in them. So
interesting.
It'll get through a lot of that. So it's a good dragon.
All right. I like this next one a lot. I've been looking for better ways to play these types of cards in Commander, and this seems like a good deck for it.
Yeah. The Hunted Dragon, another flying haste 6/6 dragon. It is 3 and 2 red for a dragon that reads, when Hunted Dragon enters the battlefield, target opponent creates 3/2/2 white knight creature tokens with first strike.
Okay, so why is that good? You're giving them 3/2/2s.
You are giving them 3/2/2s, but if you have your commander out, you can probably goad at least one of them.
Ah.
I mean, so, and also they're going to be on the ground and you're likely goading them with other abilities as well, making them forced to attack somebody else.
Yeah, if your opponent doesn't have any creatures to goad, then you're not getting the abilities. So this gives them those.
Yeah, exactly. So this is, it's also a 6/6 flying haste for 5. Like, that's good.
Very good.
It's a good dragon.
Yeah,
like,
By the way, Storm Breath and Thundermaw, they're 5/5 and a 4/4, but Hunted comes with this downside, but it's a 6/6 as well.
Yeah, yeah. It's just there's a whole cycle of hunted creatures that do this in Magic, and I think this one is one of the better ones.
Yeah, certainly, because they can't block this creature once it's flying in.
Exactly.
They just have some knights. Yeah, and by the way, these are really good blockers in case other people are swinging at them with goaded creatures.
Exactly.
They can put 2/2/2s or 3/2/2s with first strike in front of something, and then they all of a sudden, they're surviving, so you can maybe even make this a political play.
Oh, yeah, that's a good idea, yeah.
Like, hey, you are getting beat in the face by goaded people because you're a Spellslinger deck. What if I give you a couple of blockers?
Mm-hmm.
Like, okay, sure.
There's going to be a downside to this somewhere.
Yeah. And well, the downside is not that bad, all things considered.
That's true.
This next one is glorious. It's Glorybringer. It's another 3 red dragon that's a 4/4 flying with haste. However, you can exert Glorybringer as it attacks, and when you do, it deals 4 damage to target non-dragon creature and opponent controls. So exert means it's not going to untap during your next untap step.
Yeah.
But Glorybringer comes in and kills something almost instantly. If not, it just swings with haste and gets your commander going again.
Yeah, so you have the option to do that. And, if you have your commander out, you are goading at the same time. So kill something and goad something and deal damage.
Get a blocker out of the way, a flying blocker, whatever it is.
Yeah, that's a lot. It does a lot.
Yeah, Glorybringer, every time it lands, I'm always like, oh, no. The haste, the damage.
Yeah.
Next up is a newer dragon, and one that I think works really well in the deck.
Yeah, Galazeth Prismari. It is 2, a blue, and a red for a Elder Dragon. Good old Elder Dragons. It is a 3-4. This one does not have haste. It does have flying. When it enters the battlefield, it does create a treasure token.
Very nice.
And it has artifacts you control have tap and add 1 mana of any color. Spend this mana only to cast an instant or sorcery spell.
Okay. By the way, if you remember, we have Curse of Opulence in this deck.
Mm-hmm.
You can tap the gold tokens you get from that 4 mana for instant sorceries.
Yeah. Now, you don't have that many instant sorceries in the deck to take advantage of this, but this is a cheaper dragon to get out earlier to get ready. You can cast it to the turn before you cast your commander.
Yeah.
You already have one thing in the air to get ready to go.
Even if you're missing a land drop, the treasure token you get from Galazeth lets you play your commander the next turn, too.
Exactly. Yes. It so is a good dragon.
It's a good boy.
It's a good boy.
Next up, we got the Bident of Thassa. 2 blue-blue for a legendary enchantment artifact. Whenever a creature you control deals combat damage to a player, you may draw a card. Very good, but more importantly, the second line of text, which you don't see that often. It's 1 in the blue, tap it. Creatures your opponents control attack this turn if able.
Yeah, you are essentially goading them. Now, it's not exactly goad because they can choose to attack you, but obviously you wouldn't do this unless you had some sort of defense up like Propaganda or Karazul to make a bunch of tokens in case they want to attack you.
Oh yeah, the Kazul, Tyrant of the Cliff.
Yeah, exactly. So it is a good card in that also you're attacking with a bunch of flyers in the air. You're going to draw cards.
Yeah.
Fantastic.
That's a really great way to make sure your game plan keeps going. Yeah. Those creatures will again satisfy for Craig's second ability because they have to attack this turn.
Yeah.
And then Blammo, you're just in. You're in it.
You're in it, baby.
Next up is a classic. It's Anger. This
good old
super
Anger.
Simple. It's a 3-4. It's a 3 and a red for a 2-2 with haste. However, you want to get this into your graveyard because when it's in there and you control a mountain, creatures you control have haste. So
yes.
That's when you're going to get your game plan really going with all your Dragos.
Yeah, this is the one to get all the other dragons that are already in the deck that don't have haste. Like, give them a nice way to have haste.
Yeah. Okay, I really like this next one, too. I haven't seen this card yet, even, I don't think.
Yeah.
Is this in this set or the prior set?
This was in a prior
AFR?
Set.
I believe
it is actually in Crimson Vow Commander.
Ah, okay.
It is Lorine the Diversion. It is red and 2 for a legendary creature, human rogue, a 3-3. It does partner with Kambar the Plunderer, which is a black card that obviously is not in this deck.
Mm-hmm.
But it is a 3-3 with first strike, and it has an ability. 2 and sacrifice an artifact or creature, go target creature.
Okay, so this is a sac outlet.
This is a sac outlet that you can even sac itself if you need to actually goad something at instant speed that is...
Oh, interesting.
You just need something to not attack you for a turn. Like, having this out... It's also a 3-3 at first strike. It's not, like, a slash in combat, but...
Yeah, again, if people are attacking you, first strike is one of the best defensive abilities. You may think it's an offensive. No, it's the perfect defense.
Yes. Now, these last two creatures that we just did, Lorine and Anger, aren't dragons, but I do have a solution for that.
And that solution is one of my favorite cards in recent history. It's Maskwood Nexus from Kaldheim, and it's an artifact. Creatures you control are every creature type. The same is true for creature spells you control and creature cards you own that aren't on the battlefield. So changelings, basically.
Mm-hmm.
And then, even better, you can pay 3 mana, tap the Maskwood Nexus to create a 2-2 blue shapeshifter creature token with changeling, and it is every creature type.
Yes, so any creature that in your deck, at this point, becomes a dragon.
Yeah.
Which will trigger your commander. And it also makes tiny little 2-2 dragons.
Yeah, and so again, your commander doesn't need to say it's a flying dragon. It just needs to be a dragon attacking the opponent to get the triggers going.
Exactly.
So very cool there. I like that a lot.
Yeah.
This next one is a card that I've never drafted in New Capenna, even though I see it and I pass it all the time. I would love to hear why it's in this deck.
So it is obviously not good in a limited environment. This card is called Public Enemy. It is 2 and a blue for an enchantment aura. Enchant creature, all creatures attack enchanted creature's controller each combat if able. And when enchanted creature dies, you draw a card.
Okay, so it replaces itself in case they're like, crap, I'm going to swing with this, please block it, and then they kill it. Well, you get a card back.
Yeah, so here's the best case scenario with this card. The person, when it becomes your turn, you cast this on a person who just attacked you. Their creature is tapped.
Right.
Everybody still needs to attack that person, and they can't even block it.
Yeah, everyone needs to attack that
Everyone. It is, you know, triggering your commander and all the other things that require goad to go off. But it is making a creature that will probably get removed and probably get a bunch of damage through just because if that creature's already tapped, like, what's going to happen?
Yeah,
right?
That's really good. You could even goad their other stuff and then play Public Enemy so that they're all tapped out. And then now everyone else that's goaded goes, well, I have to attack this player that's the Public Enemy.
Yeah.
And blammo, they're going to take a lot of damage.
It takes a lot of pressure off of you. And you're going to get a lot of pressure in a deck that's doing a lot of goading because you know, a lot of times people don't like being forced to do things in Commander.
And as, even if they are able to get rid of it, you're drawing a card, so you're not actually that far down. Hopefully that you're able to play it on the player that is not able to get rid of it within at least a turn, and you're going to get a lot of value off this.
Yeah, that's good.
Okay, so total, by the way, how much did it add up to?
Exactly $30.
Now, wowie zowie.
Yeah, give or take, obviously, your mileage might vary, but it's, as of now, as of this podcast, it is $30. Yes.
Yeah, that's great. Another section that we always love to do, though, is honorable mentions, because there are always some cards in here that you make you go, oh, I wish you could have added, but it would have destroyed the budget, so what do we have here?
Yeah, so the first one is Grenzo, Havoc Razor.
Oh, so good.
Yeah, this is 2 red for a legendary creature, Goblin Rogue, a 2/2. Whenever a creature you control deals combat damage to a player, choose one. First ability, go target creature that player controls. Already good.
Yeah.
Second ability, exile the top card of that player's library until end of turn. You may cast that card, and you may spend mana as though it were mana of any color to cast it.
Okay, so it kind of has a Ragavan effect.
A little bit, yeah.
Yeah, and it also just straight up just goads creature when you deal combat damage. So you will be able to do this twice with your commander, right? You swing in with the flying with haste, you do the first goad ability, you hit them, and then you trigger Grenzo's second ability.
Yeah.
So if you were playing when this was out, I believe it was Conspiracy. Mm-hmm. Unfortunately, it's a little more expensive now. It's like sitting almost around $30.
Yeah, it's kind of wild.
We can't do 10 cards in, 10 cards out with just one card in Grenzo. So fingers crossed with all the goad that's being printed now, hopefully we'll get Grenzo back in the set soon.
Yeah.
And the next honorable mention is a card that is a pet card of our writer Jamie in the office here.
Yeah.
It's War's Toll. 3 in red for an enchantment. Whenever an opponent taps a land for mana, tap all lands that player controls. If a creature an opponent controls attacks, all creature that opponent controls attacks if able.
So that's a wild sentence there, because if you goad one of their creatures, that means all of their creatures have to attack.
Right. Now, they can attack you, but they do have to attack. That's why having a propaganda out will be that much more effective.
Yes. Yeah. And this is a little oppressive because obviously when people are forced to tap out, they're going to see it as, again, you're forced to do something. People don't like that. So I left it out because it feels almost a little too oppressive. But in the right build, if you have enough pillow forting going on, I think this is a very good card.
Yeah. So the way that the first part works is that you tap a land and then War's Toll goes, oh, you have to tap all your lands. You don't lose that mana. You can tap them in response and add the mana. But it basically says when you cast a spell, that's it. You're doing all your mana all at once. You can't use it for other parts of your turn. So that's actually really good against certain decks as well.
Yeah, yeah, I mean, mana rocks don't count, so that'll still happen. It does lands, but it is still pretty... It feels bad when it happens to you when you're not ready for it.
Oh, yeah, certainly. Yeah. Okay, so that's great. I love the 10 cards in. And, of course, your mileage may vary, as always. Very well said. Let's talk about now the cards to take out. And there are some interesting ones here. The first one is Pursued Whale. It's not a dragon. It's a whale.
It's trying to do its best impression with that big mouth. It's trying so hard. It's like, I can be a dragon.
It looks like it's trying to fly as well. It's like, vroom. So this is 5 blue-blue for an 8/8. When it enters the battlefield, each opponent creates a 1/1 red pirate creature token with this creature can't block and creatures you control attack each combat if able. And of course, if you try to target Pursued Whale, it costs 3 more to cast. So it basically has ward at 3. Now, why'd you take it out? It seems like the ability's pretty good here.
No, the ability is pretty good, but it is another... Now, there's a lot of expensive cards in this deck.
Yeah. And we just added in a bunch of 5 drops and stuff too,
we did,
right?
Yeah. And there's a lot of other 7 drop expensive dragons in this deck. So this one wasn't a dragon and its ability is fine, but I think there's cheaper ways in the deck that we just added to do this ability.
Yeah. And we also already have your goblin... What's his name? Goblin Spymaster, which is kind of doing the same thing at 3 mana, so I can totally understand the removal of something, because there are games where you will never get to play the Pursued Whale.
Yes,
as much as you think it's a good card.
Yeah.
The next one is Domineering Will. This is one of the reprints that was actually worth a little bit. So this is the 3 in blue. Target player gains control of up to 3 target non-attacking creatures until end of turn. Untap those creatures they block this turn if able.
Yeah, this one was a weird one to take out because it can sort of trick your opponents into being like, I'm wide open, you could attack me, and then you could steal somebody else's creatures to like do something with it. But it doesn't exactly goad people into doing stuff.
Yeah, it's also very specific.
Yeah.
Right? You may have cases when you're just holding this card and it never is relevant.
Exactly.
And that's what I like to call trap cards in Magic, and there are a lot of those, because you're like, oh, this is such a cute, cool interaction. I can't wait to blow someone out with it. And maybe 1 out of 5 games you do, and the other 4, you're like, ugh, I wish I just had a creature.
Yeah, and very, very likely in this deck, you will be tapping out every turn to play a dragon, goad creatures, and you won't be likely holding up mana for a Domineering Wheel.
Right.
Will.
We. Next up, we have 2 of the impetuses. We have Psychic Impetus and Shiny Impetus. So these are both enchantment auras that you place on another creature. And it Psychic Impetus, it gives a creature +2/+2, and it goads that creature. And then whenever that creature attacks, you scry 2. And then Shiny Impetus, it goads that creature. And then whenever that creature attacks, you create a treasure token. So it seems like both of these are in line with the deck. So why do you decide to take them out?
So yes, these do goad creatures, but they, unlike the other card that we added in that does force creatures to attack the public enemy, this one only triggers once, most likely, because people will make a deal, be like, hey, can you just block this so I can get this enchantment off?
Right.
It doesn't say
unblockable or anything. It's just,
yeah. It doesn't draw you a card or anything. It does scry, which is good late game probably, but they just don't feel as good as the other cards in the deck that already goad creatures.
Yep, I definitely feel you there. The next two adds, you may have predicted it when we talked about it. Yeah. It's Will and Rowan Kenrith, both of these 6-mana planeswalkers that just seem more like it's like, hey, cool, let's just find a place to reprint these brother and sister and get people these cards if they want it.
Yeah. If you're playing a 6-mana planeswalker and you don't win the game like that turn or the next turn, it's going to feel pretty bad.
Yep.
And these don't really even have that, you know, like it's just...
Yeah, Rowan is a little different because her +2 is during target player's next turn, each creature that players controls attacks if able. But you're already doing this with a bunch of other cards, and you already have dragons that you'd rather play in place of it.
Yeah.
Because, you know, there are times, again, like you, let's say you have Furcrag out, and you're like, I just need to draw a hasty dragon. I'm going to be able to get this effect, goad the right things. And you play Rowan, and it's like, oh, crap. Well, this isn't really doing what I want here.
Yeah, and it doesn't prevent them from attacking you again, which is something you're trying to do.
Yeah, they're not actually goaded.
They'll be like, okay, I'll attack your planeswalker. And you're like, okay, well, why did I do this? This is silly.
And then you actually removed another dragon.
I did remove another dragon. Now, this is a 7-mana flying 5/5, the Thunder Dragon. It is 5 and 2 red.
When it enters the battlefield, it deals 3 damage to each creature without flying. So it's kind of like one of the board wipes that we counted in the, I think it was 9 board wipes.
It is a pseudo board wipe, but it just doesn't do enough for 7-mana. Now, if it had haste, maybe, but it just does not do enough to warrant the big cost of it.
Yeah, I think ideally what you're trying to do is win the game by 5, 6, 7, and you'd rather play a hasty dragon that we added, one that can instantly get that effect, rather than just a 7-mana, and it may not even kill the things that you need, right?
And like the thing is, like, yes, it is a dragon that does a board wipe, but do you really want to do a board wipe? Sometimes you do, but if you're playing a dragon, you probably want to goad creatures instead of killing them.
Right.
So...
makes a lot of sense. The next cut is one I definitely agree with. It's Clan Crafter. Yeah. It's the background that, again, gives your commander the static ability to pay 2 and sack an artifact, put a +1/+1 counter on this creature, and draw a card. If you're making a ton of treasures in this deck, maybe, but you're not, right? You're goading creatures, you're giving +1/+1 counters to your commander, and you're drawing. So it's a lot different in terms of what you're actually trying to do. I think you take Clan Crafter out, you find another commander, and you build a deck around that instead.
Exactly, 100%. Yeah, that's what it goes with.
And then the next up is a card from AFR, Adventures in the Forgotten Realm. It might be from...
This is new.
Oh, yeah, it's a new one.
This is a new class.
So sorry, this is a class. The mechanic in this type of card was introduced in Adventures in the Forgotten Realm, but this is a new version of it. It's Artificer class. We may as well read it.
Yeah.
So it's a card that has 3 levels. When you play it, it starts at the first level, and then you level it up similar to your Draga Tree Speaker type cards.
Yeah, as a sorcery.
But it's an enchantment. So the one in the blue, the first artifact spell you cast each turn costs 1 less to cast. The level 2, one in the blue, when this class becomes level 2, reveal cards from the top of your library until you reveal an artifact card, put that card into your hand, and the rest on your bottom of your library in random order. I mean, you have, like, what, 6 artifacts in this deck?
Yeah,
maybe?
It's not
And then
great.
5 in the blue to level up to level 3, so altogether it's 2, 4, 10 mana to get to level 3. Mm-hmm. At the beginning of your end step, create a token that's a copy of target artifact you control. This ain't the artifact deck.
Yeah.
It's not where you want to be.
It's, I think in the right deck, again, it could be powerful, but this ain't it.
Yep.
This ain't it, fam.
It.
I will say I'm very happy they did print the Artificer class, because that was the one class that was, I thought was like, hey, that is a real class in 5th edition D&D. You can toss it in there.
Do you think they did a good job with the sort of thematicness of it?
I mean, it is based on artifacts. I think so, yeah. I honestly don't know what I would have done with it. I feel like it would have been a deck that made artifacts that like made contraptions of some sort or something.
Okay.
Like it made something, but...
like that one unset?
Yeah. I mean, if it actually made contraptions, sure. Yeah.
Yeah, sure.
Yeah.
And then the last card we cut here is Loot Dispute.
This is another new card.
I just love this name.
Loot Dispute. And it is two dudes fighting over what looks like...
some loot?
Yeah, it looks like loot. It looks like a gold dragon's head.
Oh, yeah, it is a gold dragon's head. Maybe they're in Smaug's chamber.
Ooh.
So you want to read this one out?
Yes, it is red and 3. It is an enchantment. When Loot Dispute enters the battlefield, you take the initiative and create a treasure token. We'll get back to that in a second. Whenever you attack the player who has the initiative, create a treasure token. And then it has Loud Ruckus, a final ability. Whenever you complete a dungeon, create a 5/5 red dragon creature token with flying.
All right. So the initiative, we've explained this before, it is a new dungeon called the Undercity. When you take the initiative, it's like Monarch. You begin entering into the dungeon, and then at the beginning of your upkeep, if you still have the initiative, you venture further into the dungeon. Mm-hmm. And it's similar to Monarch. If someone attacks you and deals combat damage, they take that back.
Yeah.
So, one, this dungeon is probably never getting completed.
Yeah.
Because you're not a dungeon deck.
Yeah.
And two, the initiative, Undercity doesn't have enough effects, I think, to make it actually worth it.
Yeah.
Especially, it doesn't synergize with the deck except for that last ability, pretty much.
Well, in the middle, it does have the Undercity, does have Goad. There is a Goad in the Undercity. Okay. So there's like a little. But
it's going to take you so long to get there because you have to wait for every upkeep to keep going.
It's not worth it.
Yeah, the 4-mana slot, too, is really important in Commander decks. And having a card that it needs to really synergize or just be Smothering Tide.
Again, it's a card for a different deck. It's just not for this one.
It is cool, though. I think the whole Undercity initiative mechanic is fun. But yeah, it doesn't really fit with what we're doing with the deck here.
Yeah.
Okay, so that's great. I love it. 10 cards in, 10 cards out. So, Grav, why don't you tell us a little bit about how the deck plays and just sort of any additional notes you have about it.
Yeah, so as we all know, dragons are very mana hungry. They're hungry for all sorts of things, but mana is what they want to get
and
on
gold.
The battlefield.
And gold.
And gold. I don't think they eat the gold, do they?
No, no.
Do dragons
eat
gold? Do
they eat mana?
Well, yeah.
Doesn't the gold technically increase their power? Isn't that like some lore as well? I don't know how it works in the Lord of the Rings world, why Smaug wanted so much gold.
Oh, yeah. Smaug was a weirdo.
Benedict Cumberbatch. I just think about his face in when he's doing the mocap.
He's so into it.
Yeah.
You gotta give it up to him.
I'm sure Peter Jackson was like, thank God you exist, Benedict Cumberbatch.
Yeah. My hero.
You bring Smaug to life for me.
So dragons love mana. They're going to need a lot of it, some of them. Now, I put in a bunch of cheaper ones, but they still need 4, 5, 6, 7 mana.
Yep.
So
and you have to get to that mana, too. You can't be missing land drops in this deck.
So you're going to want a mulligan for quite a bit of the ramp and card draw that's already included in the deck, which is fantastic. And you want to start the combat festivities with one of the curses that's in the deck.
Curse of Opulence,
Curse of Opulence. You can protect yourself with some of the board wipes that are in the deck. Blasphemous Act, we already talked about. Or cards that de-incentivize opponents from attacking you, such as Propaganda, Stuffy Doll, Brash Taunter, or Kazoo.
Oh, Brash Taunter's in this deck?
Brash Taunter is in the deck.
Very nice. Great card in this deck. Yeah.
Yes. So once opponents start playing their good creatures, you can start goading them with your commander and then goad them into, you know, chipping down their health a little bit. And then you just swoop in with your dragons and finish them off.
Nice.
Now, the thing you have to consider is that goad becomes way less good when there's only two of you left.
Right.
Because, it doesn't do anything.
Yeah, they just end up attacking you.
Yeah.
Now, forcing them into combat maybe when they don't want to, you have a 6-6 dragon and you're goading their 3-3, that could be good for you.
That is true. That is very true. And something you want to consider that isn't actually given into the deck, but I feel like this deck needs something to mark creatures as goaded. You need something on the side, some sort of token thing to say like, this is goaded.
Yeah. To just keep track of. That's actually a really good note. I think a big mistake a lot of players make is I built this awesome deck, you bring it in, and it's like, you need like 5 different counters and ability counters, and you have all sorts of things to keep track of. Did you bring the things to do that? And they're like, no, can I borrow a dice?
Yeah. Something to think about when you play this deck, I feel like it's going to help you out doing the mental math of combat.
Yep. I also like too, if you mulligan, you're like, crap, I don't have a fast start, but I have one of my board wipes.
Yes.
Waiting for the board to develop, board wiping, and then going your route by playing your hasty dragons. And that's why them having haste is so important.
Yes. Haste is very important in this deck.
Yeah, I like that a lot.
Yeah.
Very good. All right, to the listeners, what do you think about Draconic Descent of the Precon? You've seen a couple of the Precon upgrade guides now. Do you think this is better or worse than the other ones? What would you do differently? Would you try and make it into an artifact synergy deck with, I forget his name.
Baratol,
yeah.
Is that right?
Baratol. Sounds like some kind of medicine.
Exactly what I was thinking. It's like, this does sound like medicine.
Take a Baratol, kids, and goad creatures with lesser toughness. Power.
Baloth Baratol.
Entertainer. Kind of like us.
Ding!
Let us know in the comments if we've missed any cards or if you'd put something else in over what Garov suggested. We always love reading those comments. And of course, the comments section is a great place to have discussions with other players too. It's a great brain dump for you to learn from other active players out there. Or make sure you check out our Patreon. If you're on our Discord, that's another great place to discuss. As we always usually open up channels for all the different precons so people can throw their ideas in there and see what they think.
Our Discord is one of the most awesome places because it's constantly people talking. Like, there's always discussion happening.
Yep.
It's very cool.
It's also
cool.
Really healthy. We have great moderators. Mm-hmm. Shout out to the moderation team. And of course, shout out to the community for keeping things civil and just about the game and really why we're passionate about Magic. And of course, if you want to pick up Draconic Descent or any of the precons from Battle for Baldur's Gate, or even from sets past. There's so many cards now out in Magic that it's hard to keep up. So you're going to want to go to a place that's going to give you access to all of them. That's channelfireball.com/command, or just enter promo code command at checkout. Buy the cards you need, get them to you shipped quickly, and buy from an LGS that needs the support. And you're supporting them from all around the country. So definitely check out channelfireball.com/command. Once you get those cards, put them into Ultra Pro sleeves. Put them into your Draconic Descent sleeves. Is it Draconic Descent? Yeah.
Draconic Descent.
Put them into any Dragon sleeves or just red sleeves. Mm-hmm. I find that a lot of my decks are in red and orange sleeves.
I wonder why.
I wonder why. Very interesting. Yeah. Might build another mono red deck. Maybe I need to build Grenzo now. I love that card.
Ooh, Grenzo. Yeah.
And if I'm going to do that, I'm going to put them into anything from Ultra Pro. Either I'm going to go for the art sleeves or the Eclipse sleeves. Mm-hmm. I'm making a lot of the deck boxes into my travel deck boxes as we prepare for Vegas.
Ooh, Command Fest.
Yeah, Command Fest. Because I don't want to bring my entire collection, obviously. Right. So I'm going to choose the decks I want to bring, and I'm going to have them in nice, easy-to-access deck boxes. So I can't wait. Ultra Pro, another great sponsor of the show. Oh, yeah. shop.ultrapro.com/command.
Oh, yeah.
Editors, make sure you put that link up first, because that's really the place to go. Yeah. All right, end step. We're going to talk about something cool outside the world of Magic. Gaurav, you brought something to the table today.
Yes.
Tell us about it. You're all about flyers today.
Yeah, I was going to say, this is another thing that involves things in the sky. Although these things are sadly real, unlike dragons.
Wait a second.
What I want to talk about today is a board game called Wingspan. It's a game that's been out for a few years, and it is basically, you play with 1 to 5 players. You actually can play this solo. 1 to 5 players get together and play a card game that's an engine building game. You play as a bird enthusiast, basically. And all these cards, I'm sure the editors are gonna put some screenshots of them, are beautiful. The artwork on these cards, and they also have like facts about the birds, where they live.
Yeah, they're real birds, by the way. If you're a real bird, what, an aviationist? No, that's a fly.
That's planes, right?
That's planes, yeah. If you love birds, topiary, I don't know. If you like birds, avian excite. Excited about avians.
If you like birds, you know what the word is, okay?
You know, yeah, what this board game was built for you, but it's also, I played it once and I was fascinated because I was like, wow, I'm learning so much.
Yeah, it has a lot of, it actually reminds me of Commander a lot, because you're building an engine that is sometimes affected by other people, but you're so into this game of like putting together birds that combo off and do this chain reaction of like assembling. And it's a very relaxing game. It's also available on Steam and on phones as well. And it is fantastic. It has beautiful music. Every time you play a bird, you get to hear their squawks and you get to click on them and they chirp. It's beautiful. It's a wonderful game. Highly recommend it. It does have 2 expansions out, a European one and a Oceania one, I believe.
Yep.
It's a fantastic game. Highly recommend it. If you're into Commander stuff, I guarantee you'll like this game because of the engine building aspects, which is decks that I like to build are engine kind of decks anyways. So I love this game. Highly recommend it.
Yeah, it's really beautiful. You learn a lot and it's great. I think it's a pretty casual game too, especially if someone's not into, you know, they're not looking to play whatever, Imperium.
Dominion or something.
Dominion's a little bit on the easier side too, but this one is definitely, I'd say, like, it's welcoming. My engines are unstoppable. Choo-choo. All right, check out Wingspan for all your board game enthusiasts out there. Or if you're looking just to play a new game as well.
Yeah.
It's on the phone. I can't wait to download it.
Yes, it's great.
All right, cleanup set. Big thanks to our amazing team here at the Command Zone. We got Arthur Meadowcroft, Sean Gillis, Damon Lenz, Lady Danger, Manson Lung, Craig Blanchett, Ashlyn Rose, Josh Murphy, Jake Boss, Patrick Nance, Jordan Pridgen, Sam Waller, Grav Goliath, Truck Ty, Jamie Block, Evan Limburger, Mitch Trafford, and Josh Lee Kwai, who is... not here today, but here in spirit, as always.
Yes.
Every time we say draw a card, his ears burn a little bit. Yeah. And big thanks to Jeffrey Palmer. He does the living card animations that start our show on our YouTube channel. You can find him on Twitter at livingcardsmtg. All right, everyone. Go out and conquer. Burninate the countryside. Do whatever you need to with your dragons. And thanks, Grav.
Yeah,
as always,
thank
for
you, Jimmy.
A great pre-con upgrade.
We got it.
We'll see you guys next time.
Bye-bye.
Peace.
For your attention. For further inquiries, send an email to commandcast@rocketjump.com or ask us on Twitter at JF Wong and at Josh Lee Kwai. See you later, alligator.
Greetings, humans.
Angie has made it easier than ever to connect with skilled professionals to get all your jobs projects done well.
I absolutely love this because, you know, if you own a home, it can be really hard to maintain. It's hard to find people that can help you for a big project or a small. Well, whether it's in everyday maintenance and repairs or making dream projects a reality, it can be hard just to know where to start. But now all you need to do is Angie that and find a skilled local pro who will deliver the quality and expertise you need. Angi has over 20 years of home service experience, and they've combined it with new tools to simplify the whole process. Bring them your project online or with the Angi app, answer a few questions, and Angi can handle the rest from start to finish. Or help you compare quotes from multiple pros and connect instantly, which means you can take care of just about any home project in just a few taps. Because when it comes to getting the most out of your home, you can do this when you Angi that. Download the free Angi mobile app today or visit Angi.com. That's Angi.com.
Our kids have said to us since we've moved to Minnesota, we are far more active than we've ever been anywhere else we've ever lived.
Moving to Minnesota opened up a lot of doors for us.
Just this overall sense of community, of values that, you know, Minnesotans have.
It's a real accepting, loving community, especially with two young kids.
See why CNBC ranks Minnesota number 4 best state to live and work. A great place to work, an even better place to live. ExploreMinnesota.com/live.